Jackie and Jason Chenier have joined us in the studio here. Hello.
Good evening.
You guys received some fantastic news today. In case people haven't heard, I'm sure 90% of the people listening to us already know the news, but just in case they haven't, why don't one of you just make the announcement?
Yeah, we were officially announced as a winner today, a grand prize winner in the Aviva Community Fund. We won $100,000 for Sasha's Park. So it's been a great day. Yeah.
For sure. That is just such great news. Really, really exciting.
And the irony is, the day that we were accepted into the Aviva Challenge, I was actually here that day.
That's right. I remember that. That's right.
So you're getting us on both ends here. Yeah.
Bookends happening here.
Haven't stopped smiling.
Just incredible. So we, Louise and Teresa from the paper were sort of in on the announcement, but it was embargoed, obviously, so had to hang on to it until the official announcement was made today at, I guess, noon today of they made the announcement.
Yeah, it was noon.
And then the Champlain Township, they sort of did a press conference around 1:30 this afternoon where you got to let everybody know.
Absolutely.
And so what kind of response have you been getting? I know, Jackie, you were saying that you were just getting people asking, and Jason, you said the same thing too. People are asking constantly, did we win from the Aviva vote, daily vote, to sort of demonstrate community support, eh?
So, yeah, there was quite a bit of time from when the voting ended till when they announced the winners. So we've had a month of, you know, kind of waiting and people wondering, and people, you know, some people thinking maybe when the vote was done that was it.
It would be announced right away or something.
And, you know, the fact that we had come in so strongly in the vote, you know, sometimes people assume that was it and we won. And it's like, no, you know, we got a month to wait before we find out what the judges decide.
And of course, I'm sure you two took the brunt of that curiosity and people wanting to know and people asking. And
it got tricky to go grocery shopping. I got accosted constantly by people I didn't even know. Did we win?
Yeah. Because these were all people that had faithfully voted every day to make sure that, because you had phenomenal response and numbers, like the top project across the country.
Yeah.
But by a large margin, I think, of a couple of thousand votes, if not more.
It was 2,000 votes. Yeah. We, from the first day of the vote until the very end, we led the vote. You know, the community was really behind the project and we're really dedicated with voting every single day. And we took off.
You took the lead and never lost it.
That's exactly.
Right. Yeah. We crashed the website.
Oh, is that right? Well, that's why they were having the technical problems at the beginning.
We voted so much, we actually jammed it, crashed it.
Yeah. I'm not sure exactly what the problem was, but we were the first to have the problem. Because we were the first to reach 1,000, and that's when whatever issue they were having occurred once you reached 1,000 votes.
Okay.
And because we were so strong out of the gate, we were the first to hit that thousand mark and to experience the problems. But they got sorted out. Everything was okay. And,
yes.
But what we're so incredibly grateful for is that people stuck with us.
Yeah.
In spite of the technical difficulties on day two, they actually stuck with us.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, it was certainly a little frustrating when they were having some computer issues at the start because, you hate for those type of things to happen.
That's right.
Well, no, I hope we're not losing votes.
You want to harness the momentum.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I know it affected me a bit because I think I had two votes left over at the end of the thing, so I wasn't able to get those two in at the beginning. And but I think obviously everybody hung in there and just kept on voting, kept on pushing that button, you know, and it paid off for you. So let's take a couple of steps backwards, and just in case there's the rare person out there that doesn't know what we're talking about, this is about fundraising for Sasha's Park. You have just landed a really significant chunk that I know you have said this means that, you know, very likely you'll be able to put shovel in the ground this coming summer and start with phase one of Sasha's Park. But just give our listeners an overview of a bit of the history of the idea of the park and what it's going to be.
Yeah, I mean, the original idea kind of harkens back to a trip we took with Make-A-Wish. What year was it? 2010?
2010, January.
Yeah, okay. And we had gone to Florida on this wonderful trip to go to Walt Disney and do all the great things that they have down in Orlando. And we had a wonderful time with Sasha. And while we were there, we stayed at this place called Give Kids the World. And it's a special resort for children that are on wish trips. And it's really a magical, wonderful place. And in that resort, they had a playground. But it was different than any playground we'd ever seen before, because it was one that was fully accessible, that had equipment that Sasha could interact with, that he could use, that he could actually, you know, have fun at the playground on. And this was eye-opening for us, because
this is something you'd never seen before.
No, I mean, we had tried to go to the playground before with him, and it was, you know, an absolute failure in terms of not being able to get his wheelchair to the equipment and really not having anything that he could do there, even when we could get the wheelchair up.
Right.
So this was like really a huge eye-opening experience for us to go, wow, why don't they have playgrounds like this everywhere? Because this is amazing.
Really?
So that kind of stuck in our head, and it was something we always meant to kind of follow up on, you know, once we got home. And, you know, unfortunately, the reality of, you know, taking care of a child with disabilities and stuff, we didn't have a lot of time.
Everyday life just took over,
And after Sasha passed away, it's kind of something that we still had in our minds and we were thinking about. And as kind of fate would have it, there was property for sale in the neighborhood that we lived in near our house. And they were expanding that neighborhood, and it kind of seemed like a fitting way to honor Sasha by purchasing a piece of property and donating it to the township for the purpose of there being a playground. And a playground similar to what we had experienced down there, where children of all abilities could play together at that same playground.
Where everyone can play.
Yeah, so that's kind of what started the whole thing.
Wow, and so wonderful that you know you responded this way to this such a great loss. I mean, every parent's heart goes out to you, because you know we just can't imagine what it would be like to go through that, to lose a child. And you know you bounce back in such a positive way in creating this sort of wonderful, you know, concrete memory of him, something that lit up his life and his face. I remember, Jackie, when you came in, you were describing how excited he was to be on the equipment of that wonderful, universally accessible playground equipment.
And I think that's what stuck in my mind the most, is the look on both of the boys' faces, like getting to play together. The smiles on them was just ear to ear, and you could literally just feel the joy. It was great.
And they'd never been able to do that before.
Not in a conventional way, although Sebastian was pretty creative.
But you make a really good point. You know, you sort of wonder how is it in this day and age, 2015, that these are not you know, more common. And like, where would the other nearest one be in Canada, or is there one?
Well, I mean, there are certainly in neighboring communities playgrounds that are, I'll call them accessible. Okay, they have a ramp to a piece of equipment, or you know, kind of in a minor way, but not on the scale that we're talking here. One that's
you want every
built,
piece of equipment.
Oh,
to
we
be
want
accessible.
It built so, like, from the very beginning, that everything is accessible. Yeah. That the equipment works pretty much for everybody, regardless of ability. And a playground like that is, I don't want to say there's none in Canada. I'm aware of, you know, one in BC that they built around the time of the Olympics.
Okay,
and there is, I believe, one maybe on the other side of Ontario in the Kitchener area that is, you know, somewhat similar, but not still not exactly like we're talking
so
here.
So this,
you know,
may
like,
be a Canadian first, actually, what we're going to do here.
It would be, you know, one of a few. You know, I still feel they're very far and few in between. There's nothing around here like what we're talking about at this point. We certainly would have taken Sasha and driven, you know, to neighboring cities had there been one. So to our knowledge, there's nothing like this anywhere around here.
Yeah. And what I love about it is that it's for everybody, right? Like it's so able-bodied kids and kids with challenges, mobility challenges, are all going to be able to show up at this park and enjoy it. So the local neighborhood kids will hang out here for sure, right?
Absolutely. This will be a playground that, you know, a fully able child will enjoy as much as, you know, the child who's not able to do all those things. And that's really what we want. I mean, that's something that, you know, really the thought of it brings us, you know, a lot of joy. The idea of children playing with each other, regardless of ability. Mm-hmm. And in a lot of ways, that it's helpful for the community as a whole, because all of a sudden, you know, the things that make us different don't seem so different, you know?
Absolutely. And that if that could start in the playground with the very young children all playing together, I mean, what better start can you have?
It would certainly make us a much more tolerant community.
Inclusive. And,
For sure. You know, if you grow up with somebody that has challenges and differences, it doesn't really seem that unusual, because you've been exposed to it as a child.
You've been playing with
my friend. Oh, he's got this problem or that problem. But, you know, it's kind of like, he has blonde hair and I have brown hair. It's like, yeah, we all have differences.
You know? Yeah, yeah.
So Jason actually had told me about a quote he had read about how if you build something that's kind of one size fits most, and that's actually how parks are traditionally built right now, right? We build them for most people, but we don't build them for all people.
No.
But if you build something for all people, everyone can use it.
Mm-hmm.
So he was analogizing it to a set of stairs and a ramp. If you put in a ramp, everyone can use it. If you put in a set of stairs, only some people can use it.
That's a good point, actually, yeah.
So if we started maybe building parks that way and actually treating most things that way, what would that be like? Mm-hmm. I mean, it might make more tolerance.
Yeah, I think what we're trying to do is really, you know, the way of the future. A lot of the parks that we currently have were built years ago, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We're,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you think of a playground that was built 30 years ago, this wasn't anything that people thought about at the
time. That's right, that's right.
So I think, you know, as we go along and communities continue to grow, the type of playground we're talking about will become more the norm over time.
Yes.
It's just we're kind of way ahead of things right now because we're, you know, wanting to do it now. And I think people will eventually catch up to the concept in due time.
I would say that would probably be a fairly accurate description of both of you. It'll tend to be trendsetters and moving impossible mountains that don't want to be moved but get moved anyway. I love the concept of a universal accessibility becoming the norm because it just removes any stigma. You know, when you see special equipment, special ramps, special this and that, you know, you sort of think, oh, that's for somebody else, that's for the other. But if everything, I mean, a small thing, like even like a doorknob, instead of a round doorknob, the levers,
mm-hmm.
for example, which are, you know, some provinces have actually made them law, you know, they want them to be on every door in every new development because they're just so much easier to use for everybody.
Well, one of my colleagues actually had to have our bank modified because she's got arthritis quite badly and it has to be a lever door. She
mm-hmm,
can't
mm-hmm.
make her hand shape into a doorknob sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
And so everywhere she touches is a lever. And I looked at it and I said, why don't we change them all?
Why isn't it like that everywhere? Yeah, I know. I remember hearing an interview. I mean, some developers, I think, were resisting it and saying, oh, it's an extra cost or whatever. But, you know, like it really isn't. They're the same price as ordinary ones. It makes so much sense. Just do it.
And if you have your hands full of stuff, you can open exactly. them with your elbows.
Oh, yeah.
I know.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, on the subject of accessibility, it really benefits everyone because it's not just, if you look at like some of the stores now, it's all the thing, they all have these automatic doors and you can push the button.
Yeah.
And, you know, the idea probably started off because, you know, they're there for people that are in wheelchairs and whatnot. But if you really think about it, it benefits, like Jackie said, the person with arms full of groceries or a mother pushing a child in a stroller.
Exactly,
like,
yeah. They're really convenient. You know?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, the accessibility goes beyond just the person with the disability in terms of its use. You know, if everything was built that way.
Well, that's the thing. If everybody could sort of benefit from it at one point in time, then it's a leveler, right? We're all in the same boat together, right? We're all going, struggling through this thing we call, you know, our everyday lives together. And it's a kind of levels of playing field for all of us. I think it's quite a neat concept. I want to come back. I want to come take a little bit of a break. Louise, I'm going to call on your playlist again there if you can accommodate us and ask you guys when we come back from this piece of music about the various fundraisers that you've been sort of involved with or witnessing or behind or in front of. And because it's been quite phenomenal, I mean, this Aviva announcement is a huge chunk of money, but you guys have been a part of or instrumental in raising really significant amount of money at the community level, like, you know, dollars.
$70,000.
$70,000. I know. And in small installments and incremental, you know, amounts here and there. I mean, there've been some really big ones too, like the Louis Stevenson Zumba event,
right.
But also some smaller ones. So I want to get into that in a minute here,
sure.
As soon as we play another tune from Louise's playlist.
When you wish upon a star, makes no difference who you are. Anything your heart desires will come to you. If your heart is in your dream, no request is too extreme. When you wish upon a star as dreamers do. Fate is kind. She brings to those who love the sweet fulfillment of their secret long. But in like a boat out of the blue, fate steps in and sees you through. Mama, when you wished upon a star, your dreams come true. Secret long, yes, like a boat out of the blue, fate steps in and sees you through. Baby, when you wish upon a star, your dream come true. When you wished upon the stars, makes no difference who you are, your dreams are gone. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba.
That was, of course, Louis Armstrong with When You Wish Upon a Star. Mm. And I played that because when Jackie and Jason were talking about Disney World, Disneyland, whatever, yeah. I associate that song with that.
And apparently it brought back lots of good memories for you folks, too.
Absolutely. It's the first thing I thought of when I started hearing it. Say, hey, Disney. Yeah.
And yeah. Make-A-Wish.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah, that too.
Yeah. It's such a heartwarming rendition of that song. But I think for a lot of us, it's a reminder of the Disney programs on television every Sunday night, you know, like it's just family time gathering around the television, Jiminy Cricket and, you know.
Tink.
Yeah. The sad thing is, I think you have to be of a certain generation to even know what we're talking about right now.
That's
but
true.
I do remember Sunday nights at Disney true. Very clearly.
Yeah, yeah. So as I mentioned just before that tune, I was going to get you to just give us the highlights. I know there have been a lot of small individual fundraising events all over the place. We peppered throughout the communities in and around Lorient and Avec Le Cale, Hawkesbury. But maybe just share a couple of the highlights of the various ones, without offense to anybody who gets left out, but what are some of the ones that stand out for you?
Well, I think really the first one that stands out was the community yard sale that we had. Because it was the first one we did. And it was kind of the one that really got things rolling. And it was really neat because the community got on board and, you know, really contributed a lot, you know, of items there that we could sell. It was kind of the right time of year for, you know,
it
doing the spring cleanup and everything.
And I don't know where all that stuff came from. Oh. My garage.
Yeah. Yeah, we somehow found a place to fit it in our garage until the big day there. But
the spirit at that event was just incredible, incredibly positive. You could just feel it as you walked down the street. Everybody was sort of glowing and buzzing, and the whole street was vibrating, I felt. It was really neat. Great big long table. And just people going up and down there. It was a neat event.
I think it was a great way to start things because, you know, everybody's got stuff they don't want.
It was a grassroots thing that everybody could get involved.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you know, we weren't asking for money.
It was just if you have some things you don't want, you're thinking about throwing out because it's spring cleaning time.
Yeah.
Well, why don't you give them to us and we'll see if we can sell them, and make some money to get our project going. And people really responded to that.
Yeah. And I came away with a couple of really good bargains too.
Well, good. Good.
I'm thrilled to hear it.
I got to tell you, there our thinking that day was we didn't want to have anything left over,
exactly.
So the prices were really good because we wanted things to move.
It was a fun event. It was really great. Yeah, and everybody had a feeling that they had contributed to something really worthwhile and fun, and it was just perfect all around.
And then we were able to pass everything on to the food bank that we didn't get rid of. So
yeah.
It was nice we could recycle it.
We kind of paid it forward because we really didn't want to bring all the leftover stuff home.
No.
The food bank was happy to take it on and see if they could, you know, generate some funds with it
And actually, it's the first time a community group kind of reached out to us as well because we got a $1,000 donation that day.
That's true.
You know, from the Club Optimist in Laurignal. And they were really, really happy to be able to do that. And really, you know, it was a nice kind of a win for us. Like, oh, wow, people will jump on board with us. This is good news.
That's what I noticed. I remember they were members of the Rotary Club there as well. I think Derek Duval and a couple of others, you know. Mm-hmm. And so it was a magnet. It was attracting service clubs who wanted to be a part of this and lend their support and their organizational skills and credibility, I guess.
And Derek saved us that day.
Oh, yeah, he was a huge help there.
He had a really big trailer.
Yeah, we needed to haul a lot of stuff, and he had a big trailer.
Perfect. That's the kind of practical support that really makes a big difference.
Oh,
right?
For sure.
So that was one worth remembering. That sort of got you off on the right foot. And what are a couple of other ones?
Well, I think right after that, we kind of had a big one with the golf tournament, the Steve Barton golf tournament.
Oh,
and that was kind of a huge one for us. It raised a good amount of money.
$17,000.
And it really was something that got a lot of people,
awareness too.
Oh, for sure. Because we had the opportunity as well at that event, because there was a dinner after the golf, to do a presentation about the park and to show a short video and to kind of show people a little bit what we were trying to do. And I think there's
the word out there,
there's a lot of people that might have heard the name Sasha's Park but didn't really know what it was all about. So I think that video really kind of help people go, oh, wow, okay, I understand what you guys are trying to do here. Mm-hmm. And we got a good response with that.
Yeah, and I think it's what you were saying earlier, that to date, accessible parks might mean there's a great piece of equipment over there past the gravel and up the steps at the edge of that. You know, I mean, I've been involved in several including with the Rotary Club, whose one of their main mandates is children with disabilities. I don't know if they've made a big... That's the light that you were seeing coming on with me. I thought, did we go to the Rotary Club yet? Anyway,
Louise
moving
was
right along.
The first woman president of the Hawkesbury Rotary Club many, many moons ago. Yeah. But what I was going to say about that fundraising event is that you reached a whole new demographic in terms of, the layers of the communities
towns,
right?
That's certain because, garage sale attracts certain people from the community.
Yeah.
And the golf tournament, well, that's a whole different group of people.
Yeah.
So
we
were kind of getting everybody in different ways, you know?
And it's credit, I think, to the appeal of the project that you've come up with, that it's reaching, everywhere, the continuum of in our communities, from the grassroots right up into the upper echelons of, municipal governments and business people and the service clubs, So I think that's credit to the accessibility of the project itself, and the fact that people want to be a part of it and see it succeed. You've really touched on something here that everybody wants to be a part of. Which is a good thing.
We're happy to hear that. Yeah. No, I mean that's what we hoped for from the start.
Yeah.
But it's nice to see.
It is. It is good.
People
to see
are really responding to it.
I think it's the kind of thing. The more success it gets, the more people feel good about it. That and proud of their communities. That it's
And it's even. I think it's significant that it's in Laurignal and many people in the whole region are helping, because I know even when I was a young parent, you know, I would think nothing of putting my kid in the car with a couple of other kids. We'd go to Alexandria to the park or something. Sure. You know, you go just for a change somewhere, but this will be something. And it's true what you were just saying, Jean. Every time I go out to something, it might be, you know, this such and such a craft fair, and then I turn around and somebody's doing something for Sasha's Park, or I'm down at the fairgrounds taking a picture of their Christmas dinner, and they're having
There's
the auction of the cakes, and the cakes are for Sasha's Park. Like, every time
so
I turn around...
So bummed we missed that.
Yeah, we heard about it after the fact, but we were thrilled to hear about it.
You know, I had double-booked myself that night, and I almost... And then I thought, well, I had to leave the thing at our house and go down to it, and I wondered if you guys were going to be there, because you're so good at taking pictures.
No,
and
we didn't know about it.
Totally would have been there.
I love the fact that fundraisers are going on that we don't even know. Yeah. That's wonderful. We actually just heard about it from Mayor Barton, who was telling us about it, and then
I think over $1,200.
Well, that's what he was
cakes.
Telling us, and
this you know, doesn't that take the cake? Its own,
yeah. Actually. Well, as luck would have it, I was going through our Twitter feed today, and I noticed. I'm like, oh look, somebody put a picture of a cake.
Yeah, it's in the review this week. How much they raised?
I guess we weren't aware of it, but we're certainly thankful.
It must be really gratifying though to have it take on a life of its own like that, and people just stepping up and creating events that you don't even know.
But yeah, I'd really like to thank them.
Yeah. You'll get.
I'm sure you'll get a chance to thank them. That's really
no, for
cool.
sure. I mean the community support there and the fundraisers. There's been so many of them, and
tell them your favorite.
My favorite.
I was going to ask your favorite.
Yeah. I know what your
favorite
is.
Well, I would say my personal favorite, and it wasn't one that raised thousands and thousands of dollars, but I absolutely loved the photo that was sent to me of a group of children during the Porch Fest,
the lemonade.
Selling drinks and lemonade for Sasha's Park.
That was
Park.
On our street.
I just adored
hanky,
that because it really...
The hanky factor
beautiful.
On that one was big.
Beautiful.
The hanky factor. Everybody bought lemonade. It was so cute.
Well, my memory's a little foggy, but I think they raised a couple $100 with their lemonade stand.
$400,
and it was amazing. And I was like, look at these... Like these little kids are
they were right across
they're
from
even there
place,
wanting
actually.
To help out. And,
so cool.
It was great there. That's certainly was my favorite.
And what I loved too is I was walking, trying to figure out, because I knew about Porch Fest and I was checking it out. You were busy that day and I was trying to find the lemonade stand. They'd given me a rough idea where it was, and I started seeing these little hand printed signs and crayon.
Yeah.
And it was just the cutest thing I ever saw. Yeah.
You just followed those.
I was like, oh.
I think that was the one for me, though, that really kind of resonated in terms of the community is really supporting this. Because when you get to the level of, kids with a lemonade stand, it's like people
does
are
it,
really getting behind
does
this.
Does it
thing.
Get more basic than
no,
that?
No, but it's...
But I think,
it was
too,
nice.
It's
beautiful.
It's the wonderful message that... Everything counts. You know, you don't have to, it doesn't have to be a $250 plate dinner. It can be, everybody can make a difference, mm-hmm. even if you're five or six or seven.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Everybody's dollars mm-hmm. count.
I mean, that's how we've always seen the fundraising is that, today's an exception there with this $100,000, but we always saw, the project as being one where we're going to get there, but it's going to be a little bit here and a little bit here mm-hmm. and a little bit here. And, over time we will get to where we're trying to go.
Mm-hmm. Well, our friends actually, Mark and Lisa Henderson, just sent me a very nice little message telling me about how they raised us another $250. And what they did was they've got a Christmas gift exchange they do with some friends. That's a $25 buy-in. But this year, instead of actually buying gifts, they recycled stuff from the house. So you had to get a little creative.
Wow.
And everybody chipped in $25 and they donated it to the park.
Oh, wow.
And I thought, what a great idea. Why not? I mean, do you need more stuff?
No. We're always saying that. We don't need more stuff.
But then you could sell it at my yard sale. And Jean might buy it. So
that's
okay.
Right. That's right. That's right.
Those good
That's
bargains.
A great idea. That was a great idea.
I mean, I certainly think if we're talking about fundraisers, though, we certainly have to mention the Zumbathon.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah.
Dancing in the Rain. Who could not love that?
I mean, but that was a huge one. I mean, Lou Stevenson put on a wonderful event.
Yeah.
One that really had so many elements of Sasha in it there, with so many different things, even
the
cool down song at the end. And we really loved that event. It was wonderful. It was got a little misty eyed there even at the end there, the way things kind of finished. And she raised a phenomenal amount of money, over $16,000 with that event. And
Dancing in the Rain too.
Yeah,
right? People came out of the rain to do that.
Yeah, it was incredible.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
And another one of my favorites too, and it was just because of the feedback I got, I think, and also they raised money, was the Knox Bible Camp.
Oh, yes.
They actually had me come and talk to the kids kind of at the beginning. And I had had a chance to go talk to one of the planning meetings, and I talked to some people. And when I got back, when I went back again and I was asking kind of some questions, because I don't know how to talk to five-year-olds anymore, I don't have one, I just started by asking questions, and it worked out. But it was so cool to see all the people that had kind of heard the spiel to begin with actually really pick up on it and say, oh, no, we don't want the wood chips. This is perfect. We are really starting to make people understand. And somebody telling me, you know, that they had gone and walked around those, I said, you're right, you couldn't get a wheelchair through that.
Wow.
And it was just really great to, for me, that we started seeing that people are like, that really understanding
it. And that there is a way to do it differently.
Yeah. And it's like, well, why aren't we doing it this way to begin with?
Yeah.
And it's almost like Starbucks bathrooms, you know, they're the way they are. They're standalone. You can either use it yourself. You can, you know, use it with a disabled person, or you can bring your three toddlers in there, and you know, they work. Mm-hmm. And it's not that hard to make it just work. Mm-hmm. So it's just cool for people to get it.
Yes. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. I was wondering if you wanted to go back to the Zupa thing for a second, because I remember you came back from that event just glowing and really excited.
People were touched. You know, it's easy to be to you know, it was Saturday night and it was sort of misting, and Louise, you know, hoped for the best. She set up everything outside that day, and it was too late to move it. So we all hung in there, but there was just this spirit of like, I'm not going home. I'm going to be okay. You know, and I got cold, and then it sort of
stopped.
Went away. Mm. The rain stopped, and it just, you know, it and everybody hung in there, and there were people around me that said, I don't know if I can last. I don't do Zumba, you know, but that would be me. They were happy, and they were, it was just
Dale
really,
Garvin hung in there.
He did. I know he was.
He's now an avid Zumba goer.
He's a regular goer. Hey,
is that right?
There you go.
That's interesting.
But it was really good. And I know Louise had, and I've lost her name. I had it a minute ago, but a person went out and collected enormous amount.
Patricia Godin
for the silent auction. But everything, that's what I was saying to you folks earlier this week, that everyone that she went to ask for someone, as soon as they knew what it was for, they said yes. So it's like you said, there's a tremendous appeal. And I think, I know, Jason, you were saying, you know, when you go to a senior's residence, you can see that there's decreased mobility there. So we may have, you know, young children with problems. We may have young adults. But our older people, too, could walk through a park if there was a ramp, if it was a walk, like a boardwalk from one end to the other, it would make it easier for them too. I know when my mom was in Heritage Lodge and she would come out and she'd say, where's the carpet? You know, she wanted to walk on a smooth, you know, because they, and when they take them out for field trips and things, it's harder for older people to negotiate.
Well, Jason's own father now is actually in a wheelchair. So, you know, this is something, if we had this park and Sasha was still with us, we could have gone. All of us, you know, he could have gotten to see his grandchildren.
Yeah. And it's just a redesign of the park itself and of your thinking.
Yeah. I think when we talk about the park, people, you know, sometimes they're always focusing on the kids, but the reality is there are parents with disabilities who, just like the children who can't go to the park, can't take their own kids to the park for the exact same reasons. So, you know, what we're trying to do here, really, it benefits not just the kids, the adults, the grandparents.
Everyone. You know,
everyone. But we can get back to that.
You must be almost at the point, I'm sure you did a lot of explaining the project, you must be getting to the point where you don't even have to say that much anymore. People are already there with you. Like, you've got so much buy-in from the community, or are you still finding that you have to
explain it,
reach out?
Anybody we've had a chance to explain it to before, or has talked to, like Dale Garvin or the Freemans or Lou Stevenson, they really get what we're trying to do, and that's great. But if they haven't had a chance to really talk to us one-on-one, there's still a little bit of confusion about what it's about.
It's always been a challenge to get the word out about what we're doing. And, you know, as often as we have wonderful media coverage, you know, from the Review and the other newspapers and all the social media we're doing, it still surprises me every once in a while. And I still run into people right from our little community here, and they're Sasha's Park. No, never heard of it. What is it? I think for the most part, especially, you know, lately, it's really been getting out there. This Aviva thing's been wonderful because, you know, the 18 days of voting there really got the community buzzing and everybody going.
It's kind of
starting now to feel like running into people that haven't heard about it's becoming less of a...
More unusual than
exactly.
It takes me a lot longer to grocery shop now. Like, there's a lot of people talking to me that I still don't know.
I'm certain this win as well, this $100,000 win, that's again going to create some more buzz there and bring the project to more people's attention.
Raise your profile.
Absolutely.
Sure.
So this, you know, it's a win on two fronts. I mean, we're extremely happy for the money that will help us build the park, but we really appreciate the exposure that this contest
and
this win is going to bring.
With the news circulating.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I was just, we were just at Township Hall, and they're actually putting up the big banner that we won Aviva at the Van Cleek Hill Arena.
Oh,
and they're actually going to be putting up another one on the Four Corners in Loringale there.
Oh, great.
And I got thinking of it, and I thought, you know, this is actually so cool. I mean, this is like something that's as a rallying point for a community that we did this.
Yes.
We live in a tiny town you've never heard of that you probably can't say if you have heard of it.
Yes.
I mean, it's 5 years ago I learned how to say Loringale properly.
Yes.
I can tell you that there's some journalists for our competitor newspaper down in Alexandria. I won't name the paper, but he asked me if I was going to go to L'Originale to cover some press conference that was happening there. This is like just a year ago. L'Originale.
It's everybody I know that, you know, we come from, you know, more of an English part of Ontario and have resettled here. But that's exactly what they call it, L'Originale.
Yeah. Like, but I think you guys have succeeded in putting that little town on the map. That's what I was sort of alluding to when I was saying about the buzz and the atmosphere for the garage sale. I mean, the community is coming together in a way that I have never witnessed before. And it's become a rallying point, and I think is creating incredible sort of bonding, you know.
I think, didn't the old jail Halloween night, didn't they do?
They actually are participating in something else with us that's soon to be announced.
Oh, okay.
But what they had asked is for us to kind of help them out, and Jason is the king of Halloween.
I was just there because I love Halloween, but it wasn't a Sasha's
photos. Okay.
But that was a really successful event, so I think you sprinkled a little bit of your stardust on that.
Yeah, it was great. It was a lot of fun.
They had so much fun doing that, all of them. And that night, afterwards, we were sitting around talking about how many, and they had counted how many people had came through, and they were just delighted. They actually, I think, doubled their expectation.
Over
2,000 people.
Yeah, and this is like a little village of less than 1,000 people.
Like I said, if you have heard of it, you say it wrong.
That's
so
right.
Yes.
You know, the one thing I really do like, though, is it goes beyond L'Oréal. Like, and that's something we found very heartwarming is, like, you know, a lot of these fundraisers, they're being done not by the village we live in where the park's being built, but, you know, the surrounding community.
Yes.
Like here, Van Cleek Hill has been absolutely fabulous with, you know, the support they've shown for the park and the fundraisers they've done. And it's nice that we live in a place where we can all get on board with something and help, you know, a project that's not necessarily right in our community. Mm-hmm. It's in the neighboring community.
Yes.
And, you know, it's really been wonderful that to kind of see people really coming together on this.
You know, actually, Van Cleek Hill reminds me of Jason a lot because... It's a nice thing I'm about to say.
Okay.
You should enjoy it.
I don't know where this was going.
I hope so.
So, you know, when I first met him, there were things I thought, oh, you just can't do that. And he looked at me and said, why can't you? And I think that's like, if you had a motto for Van Cleek Hill, it's, well, why couldn't we?
Hmm.
Like, it's preposterous to say you can't. Well, of course we could.
We may have to consider adopting that as a new motto.
And that just seems to be the spirit around here, and I really quite like it.
Very
and
cool.
then every
Very
once
cool.
in a while I have to remind myself of, oh, I guess we could.
I know, it's a small town, and when just the buildings at the fairgrounds or just the dollars that get raised for different causes, even, you know, it's quite surprising.
The community spirit is amazing. The ongoing festivals, you guys always have something on the go here, and it's
the audaciousness. I love it.
Yeah.
It's fabulous.
No, it's great.
And I think about Bose, even, right? Like these guys, they needed something to do. Well, we're going to start a brewery.
Yeah.
And I literally think they must have sat there and went, well, why can't we?
They did. And the dad had a business. It was a leather business, and it, you know, the export laws had changed, and it was just kind of slowly winding down, and he had tried some retail. His sons, one of the...
Steve
was graduating with an MBA, and he had another son graduating, and they were just, you know, sitting around saying, well, you know what, why don't we make beer? We could make some really good... And they never looked back.
Yeah.
You know,
and
they're
incredibly successful.
I think that's like, it's almost the same mentality with the project we're doing here. It seems like when you first talk about it, you're like, oh, they're crazy. How are they going to raise that much money? And, you know, it's a nice dream. But I really think if you're passionate about something and you believe in something, you know, you can get things, big things done if you really believe in it. And then Bose is a perfect example of that. And, you know, even, I mean, where we are today, we won $100,000.
Yes.
Who could have imagined this, you know? Like,
I know.
It's incredible.
And we did it in this tiny little town, and it's impossible. Yeah. But I'm so happy they're putting up this banner because I got thinking about it. Like, it wasn't just Sasha's Park that won.
It's an acknowledgement of everybody who jumped on and helped.
You know what? Next time you think, well, I can't do that. No, go look at that sign over there because it was literally an idea of, well, why can't we?
Yeah. Well, and if you look at it too, we were competing against the entire country.
Yes.
You know, and that includes the big cities.
I looked at the projects.
That's really
impressive.
And to think that our, you know, a small community that we are can band together and say, you know, if we're behind something, doesn't matter how little we are, we can get huge things done.
I think it was a source of huge pride and confidence and a reminder that anything is possible if we all sort of stick together.
And I think, too, if you have a community sort of the right size where everybody and a lot of people had participated in one thing or another, so all of those community leaders were pushing it and saying, don't forget to vote. But in a city, it's sometimes even harder to rally the troops because people are not living in the same community. But here, you know, Louise Stevenson was telling her tribe, like, I came out here, I mean, not to toot my own horn, but I came out the first day and I said, everybody listen up, do this right now, put it in your calendar, every day vote. There's 10 of us here every day.
Those
are votes, you know? I was posting it on Facebook, do it in your business because I'm getting goosebumps just saying it because that was 180 votes, but 10 business owners doing that with 10 people would have been, you know, I'm sure they did it at Bose.
So a friend of ours, they did actually. I was talking to Josh and they did it at Bose. A friend of ours actually had posted that if we won with 10,000 votes, that every time you click the vote button, that was $10 for the park. So you're 180 votes. Do the math, right?
Exactly.
$1,800, that's right. That's really good way to look
from that really 10 seconds worth of work to log on and click. And
that was $1,800 for our park. Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Okay, listen, you guys, I want to take a little break here, play another cut of music, and we're going to come back and just talk about what's coming up for you, future projects and fundraising events that people can participate in. So stay tuned. This is one of your tunes, Louise, in your playlist here. It's Nat King Cole and Stardust. We talked about Stardust a bit here. And we're in here in the studio with Jackie and Jason Chenier. And Louise has joined us as well. And we're just having a conversation about how things are going with Sasha's Park. And they have two great big smiles on their faces. Just reminding our listeners that there was a big announcement today that $100,000 was being contributed to the project by the Aviva organization as a result of, I guess, some judging and some adjudicating and some voting and all those elements. So really, really wonderful news, a fantastic announcement today. And a big push forward. I think, Jason, your reaction was that this meant rather than being in the middle or at the start of a marathon, you were sort of at the sprint at the end of the race kind of thing. Is that, how would you characterize it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it kind of seemed like that finish line was so far, even for the first phase, because we did, you know, kind of break the project down into more manageable chunks.
Yes.
And this, you know, $100,000 now puts us within reach of that finish line.
Yes.
I mean, we do still have, you know, a little bit more to go.
This is important to say, too, because we don't want people to sort of say, oh, well, it's a done deal and it's in the bag kind of thing. Because,
absolutely not.
You're talking about 50 or 60,000 at least just to be able to start.
More garage sales.
Yeah.
A lot more garage sales.
No, the fundraising is definitely not finished. I mean, we do need to raise, about $50,000 more to be able to get the project started.
What's the value of the first phase?
Well, at $290,000... was the equipment itself for the first phase that we had priced out was $210,000, and the property that we are giving, you know, for the project was about $80,000. So you're just under $300,000, and we had some donations in kind offered in terms of preparing the land. So really, it's just to get that equipment. I mean, the land is there. The clearing of the land and preparing it's already been, you know, discussed and kind of taken care of. But the equipment itself is really right now, what we're trying to raise the money for.
Yes. Okay. So In terms of upcoming fundraisers and events, what do you want to sort of announce to people or point out or highlight?
So to begin with, on the, I believe the Sunday, is the Heart of Christmas concert at Knox Presbyterian Church.
Yes.
And they, very lovely people there, have offered to accept a nominal amount to come into and enjoy the concert. And
full disclosure, you're looking at two choristers, two members of the choir.
I can't wait to hear you singing
we're,
then.
We're this gonna, is great. We're going to be there.
Yeah.
So, we're going to be there as well. And I'm looking forward to it. I haven't been to a Christmas concert in a long time.
It's going to be a fun event. The kids there are going to be phenomenal. And there's a bell choir, and they're quite rare now.
Oh, bell wow. choir? Bell like choir. They ring the bells.
Yes. They ring bells.
I am really
that is so
to
cool.
Yeah.
Oh,
everybody just has like two notes. Like they just go, you know, like that. And then
But you don't understand that the first real time we got Sasha to truly giggle.
Oh, that's perfect, actually. Now that you say it, it's perfect.
I remember you saying that.
It was a bell. And
Sasha loved bells.
He adored them. Actually, one of the elements that we will be putting into the park is a bell in his memory.
All right.
How
appropriate is that?
Yeah. How perfect.
That's actually makes this concert really perfect. Yeah. You know, and tying it in with Christmas, because, you know, long story, but Sasha was a bit of a Christmas miracle when he was first born. He struggled a lot, and it was Christmas of the year he was born, that Christmas Day itself, that he really kind of was able to push through to the point where...
He came out of the coma.
Yeah, I mean, he was comatose, and he woke up on Christmas.
Oh, wow.
And so Christmas has always been a special time for our family, where we always remember when Sasha was first born, he was so close to leaving, and suddenly, you know, unexpectedly, because the doctors really didn't think he would ever wake up from that coma, and he woke up on Christmas. So we really love Christmas, and to throw, you know, the bells into it there, because Sasha just loved bells to the point where
he got bells for gifts.
Yeah, to the point where when we do this first phase of the playground, there are musical elements in it, including a bell. Yes. Like that is something that will bring us so much joy just to hear that bell ringing in the playground.
I think we just decided we were paying for the bell,
too. Well, either way, the bell's going in there. It comes out of my own pocket, doesn't matter.
I think the Knox Bell Choir has to be there for the official opening.
You know what?
I think they do.
I love that idea.
And I think they will go.
Absolutely.
They would do it for sure. They will be there.
Well, you know, after Sasha passed, even, they did a 21 bell salute at his school at Pud Sis. Wow. Because he loved bells so much, and that's how they kind of sent them off with the little ceremony they did there. Wow.
There's a video, and I think we've put it on the page, but we'll have to put it on the page again, and it is of him just delighted of a bell being rung, and he is laughing and stomping his feet.
Beautiful.
Never see a happier kid with so much joy over something as simple as a bell.
So can't wait.
Yes.
Yeah, that was great.
That's wonderful. Yeah, this coming weekend, December the 6th, open to the public, and it's a free will offering, I think.
Yes. They're asking for a suggested donation of $10. That's right. Sasha's Park, and there's a lunch afterwards.
Yes.
And Dale Garvin will be there selling his world famous fruitcakes.
That's right. I was going to say, I was wondering how his campaign is going, and he said to me, won't that be too much? And I, of course, love fruitcake. I said, it's a new market for you. You should come.
Yes. We have two or three of them stashed away in our freezer.
Yeah. I think
yeah, we've got two at our house right now.
I know. Okay, Julia, they're coming.
Yeah, they're, Dale's been doing a great job there with the fruitcakes that, I guess it's an annual thing. He bakes them, but this year he's donating $5 from the sale of each fruitcake to the project. And he tells me sales are going very well.
So. He tells me he's raised $1,500. That's a lot of fruitcake.
That is.
Thank you very much. Yeah, yeah. And so if people used to ask me how the park's going to get built, and I used to make a joke about the elephant, you know, one butt at a time. It's also one fruitcake at a time.
My favorite saying.
Well, it was my mom's favorite saying.
It's her mother's favorite saying, too. Yeah.
And our other event that's coming up, which isn't really an event so much for the park, but it's something very, very important to us. December 19th would have been Sasha's 13th birthday.
Yeah.
And last year we started this because I was depressed and it was the first birthday without him. Mm. And I was trying to think of what I could possibly do to get me out of a funk. Mm-hmm. And I remembered a story about a 14, 15-year-old that I went to school with in Belleville that was killed in a random act of violence. And in Florida, and it made huge news, and these poor parents were so sick and tired of having random act of violence associated with their child that they churned it into a random act of kindness day. Mm, mm. So I kind of put a little Facebook post out there just saying, everybody on the 19th of December, could you please be kind to somebody? I don't care what it is. I'd like a random act of kindness done in memory of my son.
Make somebody smile.
That was right. Smiles, yeah, for smiles for Sasha.
And we, yes. Jason decided that we should call it Smiles for Sasha Day. And it ended up that he decided, well, we should make it bigger. Because that's what Jason does.
I just put it on Facebook.
No, you created an event.
Yeah. And I think you, one of you contacted
Jack.
Me.
I did, yeah.
And I had met you for the first time, I think, at Oktoberfest. And then yes. Sort of that's what started.
Yes. So it got a little bit pushed out. And then Lou Stevenson somehow got a hold of it and designed a logo. So it got really big. And the entire day, I lost track of how many random acts of kindness were done. But we got blog posts, Facebook updates, everything. All day about what people had done. And it was either private, monetary, non-monetary. You could literally just give somebody a compliment. And we are doing it again.
What a great concept. Random acts of kindness.
You know, when I was on my way back from the funding thing on Monday, I was thinking there will be a big reason to smile this year, that this is
absolutely.
A big
it's
smile.
It's huge. And I think that given this, when that there is more reason to try and make some other people smile in memory of Sasha. And an easy way, of course, that you can make a random act of kindness is to give the gift of play and donate to Sasha's Park if you wish, but also still be kind. I mean, do the random little things, you know. I walked around and paid people compliments and gave out grocery cards. It doesn't have to be a big, big thing.
Yeah, that was the cool thing about the Smiles for Sasha Day last year when we did
people
it.
People got creative.
And again, this year, there's no rules. You can do whatever you want. The point of it all is just go make somebody smile. Sasha was, you know, a little child that was always smiling. And it was really just to carry that forward and say, you know, it's almost like, I don't know, less than a week before Christmas. It's kind of the time of year where, you know,
things a lot of
hustle and bustle. And it's like, just take 2 minutes out of your day and go do something nice for somebody. Make them smile. Give them a compliment. Give them a hug. Buy them lunch. Whatever. You know, you see some random stranger and do something for them.
Pay them a compliment.
Just, yeah,
well,
absolutely.
Your brother-in-law, he handed out coloring books and crayons to little kids.
Wow.
I mean, how cute.
Yeah. Simple idea.
Right.
But that would give them lots of joy, right?
Right.
Yeah. It's really just, there are no rules. Do whatever you want. Just make somebody smile. Let's do something good for one day. And, you know, kind of take, you know, a little bit of extra time out of our day to make somebody else's day. Yes.
Now, Jason paid for a lady's perm, and he made her cry.
That was last year, that's true.
Wow. And
I wasn't there when she cried, but I was told.
But we were also told that she actually keeps telling the hairdresser
that's very true.
That she had never had something like that done for her, and now she constantly does little things like that for other people.
It's amazing how much it resonates with somebody because, yeah, as Jackie says, I was getting my haircut last year on Smile for Sasha Day. And as I was getting my haircut, you know, a little bit older lady came in and it's obviously Christmas getting her hair done or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And she was next after me. So as I was paying for my haircut, I asked the hairdresser, is that lady your next customer? She said, yeah. And I said, okay, well, do you know what she's getting done? She said, yeah, she's getting this and this and this. I said, okay, good. Just put on my bill. I'm going to pay for the whole thing. And it was like just this random thing. And I said, don't tell her a thing about it till after the haircut. And, you know, by then I'm long gone.
Yeah.
But I did get some feedback, you know, like actually it was only a couple months ago. She's telling me, you know that lady you paid the haircut for? And I'm like, be quite honest with you, I don't remember what she even looked like. But she says, well, she still comes in here and she still talks about it. And she's so touched by the fact that some random stranger paid for her haircut. And it really left a mark on her in a positive way.
That.
And
look at that.
Isn't that kind of made me really happy.
Because yeah.
It's a perfect really demonstration nice. Of the power of this way of thinking, you know.
Yeah.
Like it really imprints on people's hearts. You know,
so we're really looking forward to doing this again on the 19th.
December the 19th.
December 19th. It's on our, you know, our Facebook pages and everything else. It's one of those events we
have.
We
have to
and
get
it's,
that in the paper next week.
Well, yeah, I probably should send
maybe
a press
release.
Maybe
we can talk to somebody.
I know.
Yeah, do you know anybody that could take
well,
care of
we've been a little preoccupied with Aviva.
We've thrown out the reminder and the invitation, and we're going to get people to write in to us too and let us know what they've done, either on the Van Cleek FM's Facebook page or on our website. We're getting people coming into the studio here, and it's reminded me we're going to have to wrap up this conversation. We can go on forever here.
But, I was having a great time.
Well, we know they'll be back to tell us about their
for
next
sure.
big win.
For sure.
Yes, some other good news always coming.
A standing
sure.
invitation to come in and get us up to date on how the event is going. But again, we just want to wrap up with congratulating you again for this fantastic boost to the project, the $100,000 from Aviva. Really well deserved. And as you say, a really beautiful demonstration of how the community has rallied around you and wanted to be a part of this because they really believe in what you're doing and the beautiful, loving project that you've created. So kudos to you. No, well,
thank
you. To you guys.
You
know,
yeah. Thank you.
And thank you to the community. We absolutely could not have done any of this without all of their support.
I cannot tell you how much I love it when people say, did we win? Yes, we did.
But they say we, right?
They're a part of it. That's right, I love that part. That's my favorite part.
It's been so beautiful. It's fantastic, yeah. So congratulations again. Thanks for coming in, Jason.
Thanks for having us.
Jackie Chenier.
Thank you.
And,
big day today.
More success your way in the coming weeks and months. And we'll look forward to the project starting up this coming summer.
Thanks,
guys.